now, just for this weekend, and you might think it's just for football. It's not just for football. You can actually pair this with anything on the site or on the app. They are giving a quarterback gimme for any quarterback playing in an NFL playoff game this week. So that's like, if you've got a, I like playing two at a time. That's 50% of the way right there that I've got a gimme for a quarterback. One basketball play, and I'm in the money. It's that simple. Download the app today. Use promo code OOB to score $75 in bonus entries when you play your first $5. That's promo code OOB. Underdog, make picks, win money. Must be 18 plus and present South Carolina. Terms apply. See assets.underdogfantasy.com/web/playing. Get terms. _DFS_.html for details. Concerned with your play, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Visit ncpgambling.org. You were talking about some of the opportunities in ACC men's basketball this weekend. There are a couple of landmines here that teams are going to have to avoid. I think NC State going on the road to Florida State is an interesting, it's an interesting spot because, and I don't know what the total for this game is. If it's anywhere under 170, I'm going to take the over. I'll just go ahead and tell you that right now. NC State won at BC. They lost at home to Virginia. They are, right now, they are beat the mediocre and bad teams, lose to the good teams. But a lot of that is home road stuff. Meanwhile, Florida State, they actually didn't play bad at North Carolina. They didn't play bad at home against Duke, and they didn't play this week. So it's a healthier team. They're a little bit more rested. It's a noon tip. I wonder if Florida State may be a little bit alive here, and that would not be good because that is a Florida State is not a tournament team. That is not a tournament team. This is a team that NC State, because their resume is fine but not like well-polished in the non-conference, I feel like that's a game that NC State really needs to win, and I don't feel great about it.
No, I'm with you on that. Yeah, that was my point earlier. The better teams need to keep winning. You need to hold serve in games like this. So this is the kind of weekend with everybody playing where you could have some slip-ups and you just don't need them. NC State is still sort of searching in the wilderness to figure out what they are. And I think this is a bigger test maybe than – I don't know what the line on this is yet, but this is a bigger test than perhaps – we're going to think it is. Because Florida State is certainly one of those bad teams that I referenced.
I'm going to look up. I'm going to see if I can find a spread. I don't have a spread on that one.
Yeah. DraftKings is who funnels all the numbers into ESPN.com, and that's usually where I go. Those are just now starting to show up. I don't see one on that yet.
By the way, how about this one? 3.5. Georgia favored at South Carolina.
That looks weird. Why is that?
I think it's Georgia getting blown out by Florida, which we've both said that's caused your best big basically tried to end a guy's life in the game and got ejected. And
then South Carolina dominated LSU for the first half.
For the first half and kind of held on at the – I mean, it was fine, but they were like minus 15 the second half.
You know, I'm just putting that one in.
It's just noise. That's a noisy number. That's noisy. SMU getting 12 at Duke. That is a lot of points. I know Duke is better than SMU. That is a lot of points. Could Boopy go for 25?
Man, the bigger guards at Duke. He could. I think he can go for 25 against anybody. What am I saying?
I talked to Debbie Antonelli last night.
He probably won't go that much, though.
She did color commentary for the men's and women's games this week. So I saw her. I was picking her brain some on the SMU-Clemson game, the men's game from the night before. And that was the thing that it was odd that Boopy Miller really didn't try to take the game over. And she said, the one thing she said to me, she was like, I kept thinking, like, he's, okay, this is the time for him. He's going to be take the game. And it, like the last about 6 minute mark, he starts going, you know what? Yeah. Grab the bull by the horns. But it took a really long time. And I wonder if he will be a little more forceful in trying to get his earlier against Duke.
Clemson, though, was so good defensively on him early in the game. and you know, he, I guess, just try not to force things. They also, that's 2 years in a row where SMU does not like to be, does not like a physical game, and Clemson was pretty physical with them. Duke will probably be as well. I don't know, 12 sounds about right to me.
Would you rather have that, or would you rather have 11.5 with Stanford at Virginia?
If I don't like either, if I had to pick, I would do the Stanford at Virginia.
I think I would. That freshman guard, I'm telling you,
starts with an O.
That kid.
That's all I can tell you.
Okay.
They have two of them, and I get them confused.
On. They do, and one's a little bigger.
The freshman guard. That's how
the
we.
Freshman.
That's all
guard.
We need to tell you.
The freshman guard from Stanford is just a problem. He's just going to go for 20 every night. Okori is his
Okori.
Name. That's Okori. He had 31 against Virginia Tech. He had 28 against Louisville on 18 shots. He's had 59 points. So that's what? Averaging 29.5 the last two games, averaging 18 field goal attempts a game.
Virginia is actually a good offensive team. You heard that right. But Stanford is a good defensive team.
They are.
Really good defensive team.
Stanford is just, and I remember saying this last year, like, they're going to win eventually because Kyle Smith is a very good basketball coach. And they are going to win eventually because Kyle Smith is a very good basketball coach. Their losses this year are Seattle at home, random. UNLV at home, random. And Notre Dame at home, 47-40 on Tuesday, December the 30th. They have beaten everybody else. They beat Louisville. They won at Virginia Tech just now, like I said, with the step back three. They've got a neutral court win over Minnesota and St. Louis.
What do you think Clemson Notre Dame line is going to be?
I think
that'll come out before we're off the air.
I think Clemson will be like a 1.5. I think it's going to be very – I think Clemson will be slightly favored there. If it was the other way where it's Notre Dame or even like a pick'em, I think I would be okay with it. I think given the venue, it's very even.
I was thinking maybe 2.5, so we're thinking similarly there.
Low scoring?
Texture said they saw 7.5. Oh, that's your guess, sorry. Texture said 7.5. I'd be surprised if it was that high.
If it's 7.5, I would take the point. I would advise you to take the points.
It's strictly statistically based. KenPom puts a win percentage on each game. 53% Clemson's favored, projected to win by 53% chance of winning. 92% against Boston College, 63% versus Miami, 62% NC State, 75% Georgia Tech, 81% Pitt. Like, those all sound reasonable to me.
Yeah. This is a good stretch. If Clemson can win this game.
I give Clemson a better chance than 53%. Though.
I would say – I was looking at Torvik. Torvik has Clemson by 58%. So you're talking about in the, like, coin flip, edge Clemson territory. If Clemson can win this game, this again, it becomes a little bit of an interesting stretch that it feels like you're going to be favored a bunch here in the next little bit. And, I mean, I don't know if you noticed, Clemson's undefeated in the league, and so if you're winning games where you're favored and you're being favored a bunch, then it's making me a little uncomfortable. Thinking about what – honestly, try not to jinx them. Because I will get blamed for that. But it's hard not to look at Clemson's schedule and be incredibly excited if they can go into Purcell Pavilion and win. Because you're thinking Boston College, worst team in the league maybe. Miami at home. NC State at home. At Georgia Tech, a building you've had some success. Pittsburgh at home. Again, you should be favored in all of these. And then you go out west to play Stanford and Cal. That's the end of January. I don't think Clemson's getting to the end of January with a zero in the loss column in the league. I think they're going to fall somewhere because I think the margin for error is too small. But if you're asking me to predict where that is, I'm looking at the available options and going, they should win all of these games.
They will be favored in all those. We don't go to the West Coast till February 4th, so I mean, you're going to be favored in everything in this month. And, you know, I mean, it's basketball, so you never know. But, I mean, they're in good shape right now.
That's right. Can I ask a random question? This is not basketball, but I want to get your thoughts on it because I did think about it this morning. We have a poll on our website, theroyfm.com/polls. We don't have to linger on this, but it was a thought that I had. Lane Kiffin left Ole Miss for LSU, and I'm becoming increasingly convinced that Ole Miss just got farther than LSU will get under Lane Kiffin. Ole Miss was in a national semifinal. The team that Lane Kiffin left to take a job so we could go win a national title, I believe will be closer to a national title than LSU will be under Lane Kiffin.
Why do you say that?
Two reasons. One is because I don't think that Lane Kiffin has the temperament to win a closely competitive playoff game. I think Lane Kiffin is a teenager. And I think he's easily distracted. And I think even a serious person like Mario Cristobal gets distracted in these games. We talked about some of the, what are you doing? I think the Nick Saban, Kirby Smart, like laser focus. Even Kalen DeBoer, laser focus. These are coaches who are very serious people, who are laser focused and do not take their eye off the ball. They are very self-assured. I think Lane Kiffin is way too, let's throw a four quarterback formation out there at first and goal at the six and see what happens. That is not national championship behavior.
Oh, he's the poster child for overthinking it.
That's what I'm saying.
I mean, the poster child. He will mature at some point. He's slowly moving up, better than he used to be, but he's still a long way to go. Yeah, aren't we all? I mean, that's a sound argument. I would point out though that I do think they would have won at least one game with him this year, and he did this at Ole Miss. He is going to a place that has a bigger recruit and portal draw than Ole Miss. And more money, we assume. So, I don't know.
I think there is more immediate pressure for him to win immediately at LSU. Like, it took him a couple years to get it rolling at Ole Miss. And it also took a cushy schedule to set that 10-win floor for him. And I don't know that he has that benefit at LSU.
Texas said mature like milk. This is buttermilk.
Oh, that... Touche. Touche, Texas.
Cottage cheese Kiffin.
I mean, you would think that LSU has a higher ceiling than Ole Miss, which is true. But, I mean, and some of this is random. Like, if LSU gets to play Tulane in the first round and LSU gets a matchup against a team that it just matches up well, could I see him in the semifinal? Yeah. My point is this. In order to get closer than Lane Kiffin's old team just got, LSU will have to play for the national title. And to me, you can get a couple of wins, but you can't have, because of what the rules are right now in college football and because of what I think the rules might be, you can't have a cushy road all the way to the championship. You're going to have to do some really hard stuff in the most pressure-packed environments. And I don't know that Pete Golding is, like, super capable of doing that. I kind of share your reservations about Golding. But I really don't know if Lane Kiffin has the internal focus to be able to win a hard game and maybe win two hard games to get to a national championship game, regardless of the talent on the roster. So that's why I asked the question.
Speaking of Ole Miss, Trinidad Chambliss, his appeal for another year of eligibility has been denied today by the NCAA.
Oh, no. I'll have to go be a first-round pick in the NFL.
Yeah, man, he needs to go ahead and go anyway. But I read some of his appeal, and I guess the NCAA has gone back to them like three or four times now asking for additional information, but the watered down version is they basically are asking for a year back because he had tonsillitis for a season. And they're saying, well, no, it was much worse than that. But at the end of the day, it was tonsillitis.
I mean, I wondered if, because they signed an agreement that was like contingent upon him being allowed to play another year. And I wondered if they were going to argue damages based on the fact that if you don't let me play, then I can't get this money that's already been promised to me. I wonder if they would go that route. But it doesn't sound like they really did, unless they go back now and argue that.
Yeah, and I don't know if that – do you hurt yourself with that argument because you argued something different? I mean, doesn't – then it sort of looks like you're just throwing it against the wall to see what sticks. Regardless, the kid's got a good future ahead of him.
Yes.
He is hard not to root for, man.
I don't know that I would take him over Mendoza. I would not. I don't think I would take him over Dante Moore. I do think I would take him next.
Like I don't think we've seen the best of him.
I agree. The guy was in D2 last year. I mean, he's only 6'1". Like he doesn't have the 6'5", like testing specs
but,
and
man,
all
he
that.
He has a big frame though.
Really good, sturdy. I mean, we're talking about this.
Did you see him walking off the field with Lacey?
Yes.
It looked like a father-son.
It did. Listen, I'm not saying that they're undercutting him. I'm just saying you're right. He's well put together to be able to handle the rigors of the NFL. He's got some playmaker in him, but he doesn't abandon the system willy-nilly. It feels like he's got a good head on his shoulders. I just think I would – I mean, if I'm not drafting one or two and I need a quarterback, I think this guy's the easy third choice.
Texas said Trinidad will be the Jets' next failure.
Oh, please don't do
that.
That
is right in so many ways.
Don't do that to the Jets or to him. Don't do that to him. That's mean. Stay with us. Third hour of the show continues right after this.
Craft Stove Store and Patio is here to help your home stay warm and cozy until spring with over 20 burning displays of vented and vent-free gas logs. Vent-free logs will heat for just pennies an hour and even keep you warm and cozy in the event of a power failure. Craft Stove Store and Patio even features the Radiant Heating Vented Gas Logs that have a real fire look and radiant heat. Visit Craft Stove Store and Patio located on 3002 Wade Hampton Boulevard, Taylors.
Craft Stove Store and Patio.
Before you break ground on that exciting project, here's a friendly reminder from Fort Hill Natural Gas. Safety first. Call 811 before you dig. It's the law and it's free. Whether you're planting a garden or installing that dream patio, make sure to dial 811. Your ticket to a safe and worry-free project. Fort Hill Natural Gas supports and recognizes safe digging practices. Your safety is their priority. Dig smart, dig safe. Call 811 before you dig. Brought to you by Fort Hill Natural Gas, where safety meets satisfaction.
Don't let your basement become a wet and moldy nightmare. It's a valuable space in your home, and it should be treated that way. We understand that a dry basement is a healthy basement. Our experts have the technology to keep your basement dry and mold-free. All of our services come with a transferable warranty, and the financing is available. Call Canty today, 864-641-0176, or visit CantyCanFixIt.com.
At B&D Family Jewelers, value and trust come first. With Valentine's Day just around the corner, sparkle her with fine jewelry. Maybe it's for an engagement or just to spoil her. B&D Family Jewelers can help you make the day special. We also buy gold, silver, platinum, old jewelry, and diamonds. Visit B&D Family Jewelers, 1600 John B. White Boulevard in Spartanburg, or check us out at bndfamilyjewelers.com. B&D Family Jewelers can help make your special occasion memorable.
At Certified Diesel, we value keeping your diesel truck running smoothly and efficiently. Located at 2209 Highway 292 in Inman, South Carolina, we specialize in light-duty diesel truck repairs and maintenance. Whether you drive a Powerstroke, Cummins, or Duramax, our expert technicians have you covered. Avoid the hassle of dealership maintenance and choose us for all your diesel needs. Call and visit us today at 864-345-4145. 4568 or check out our services online at CertifiedDieselLLC.com.
I'm Ryan Beasley. My office works with clients in all areas of state and federal criminal defense to include pre-arrest investigations, white-collar defense, as well as student conduct issues at colleges and universities. Our team works in courts across the state to include city court, magistrate court, state court, and federal court. Our responsive and proactive approach in all cases is relationship-driven, client-centric, and resolution-focused. We look forward to the opportunity to work with you. Please give us a call at 864-679-7777 or find us on the web at www.ryanbeasleylaw.com.
Welcome back to Winter Hack Radio, the place for clever hacks to survive the season. Icy driveway? Well, try spreading sand or birdseed to help with traction. Snowy puppy paws? Well, grab a whisk, brush it off, done. Catch COVID-19? Well, just get...
Actually, there's no hack for COVID-19. But if you test positive, prescription medications for COVID exist. Ask your doctor if they're right for you. Visit PfizerForAll.com to learn more. Sponsored by Pfizer.
Live and local sports talk coming to you from the Upcountry Fiber Studios.
This is 105.5 and 97.5 The Roar.
Serving the five counties of the South Carolina Upstate, Upcountry Fiber is a stronger connection.
Sports talk you can't ignore. We are The Roar.
Quack and I are just talking series to watch. I just told him during the break, like, oh, shoot, I got to download something to watch on the plane today. I just finished the third season of The Diplomat, which is so, so very good.
I'm in it.
I am open to suggestions, though, people. And Quack just told me he is watching The Black Rabbit.
Oh, man.
And I told him it was Ozark with a bad ending.
I watched the first episode, and I'm like, I'm on this. I know it's Ozark because they even did the thing, like, on the little home screen or whatever, where they do the little pictures of things that are going to appear. Mm-hmm. You notice that? I was like, this is literally Ozark, Jason Bateman, you scoundrel. So I'm hooked. I'm for sure going to watch that. Somebody at church told me to watch Absentia. Three seasons. I'm two episodes in. Very interesting. Interesting.
The Night Agent is very good. I've watched that.
I'm not caught up on that.
Billions.
Billions is HBO, I think. Pretty sure. You know, I don't. Do you have the Hulu plan to let you download?
Because
I don't.
I've tried.
I don't.
I doubt it because that was one thing with switching from YouTube to DirecTV. I got it, the Hulu, through my DirecTV plan, and I can't even do the one without commercials.
Yeah,
which that stinks.
See,
why would they? They will not let me pay them more money.
I would like to the Hulu and Disney Plus. I would like to have the no commercials, but here we sit.
Okay, we've got several people talking about Billions. I've seen Lincoln Lawyer. What is Billions on?
Billions, I think, is HBO. It may be a Showtime deal, so it might be Paramount Plus.
I've seen Waterfront.
Is Billions The Rock? Is that The Rock's deal?
Oh, like where it may be. If it is, then I've seen it. I've seen part of it.
Death by Lightning is on my list. Texter brings that up. That is James Garfield. The cast is really good in that. I watched the trailer of that. That will be, after I catch up on all these other ones, that will for sure be watched. I haven't had a good time to watch your movie about the nuclear bomb going off or whatever, the missile being launched.
Remind me what
Ben
that was.
Told me. Okay, so you told me, what is the name of this thing on Netflix? You were like, you can't do this on a plane. You have to sit somewhere where you can really pay attention. And so I've been waiting on like 2 hours in a hotel room. And I just, because of the nature of our travels, I haven't been able to do it.
Texter talking about Lioness. That's very, I'm waiting on a new season for that.
What is that one?
That is a female basically a female undercover. Think a female Navy SEALs group, but they do undercover work.
Oh, okay.
Very good. Very good.
House of Dynamite.
House of Dynamite. Movie. Yeah, that
Best
was
the movie.
Good.
I gotta watch that. I gotta have a good time.
Texter wants to know how we have time to watch this stuff. Airplanes.
Airplanes
do a lot
and
of travel
hotel rooms
right now.
That's it.
Airplanes and hotel rooms.
That's it. I'll tell you another one that I am 100% behind. That I'm excited about is the new Knives Out movie. Have you watched those? The Knives Out?
I did not like those.
You didn't like them?
I don't know why I didn't. But everybody says the new one is really good. I did not like
those. That's gonna be one. I am also watching because we've been in
Ballers is Dwayne Johnson.
Ballers is Dwayne Johnson.
Billions is somebody else.
Okay.
Who is it? Yeah, Billions. Who is this actor in Billions? I like that guy.
I can't even think because now I'm just seeing the Ballers. I'm just looking at it now because I messed that up. The Task on HBO. Good. Mark Ruffalo. And Penny from Big Bang's husband. Really good. Good show. It's like an hour episodes a piece. You don't have HBO, do you?
I think I do now.
Yeah, I was going to say, you're in and out with HBO. I never know. That's
Paul
the other
Giamatti.
One I'm watching. Paul Giamatti is Billions. Yeah. That's right, yeah. There's some HBO shows that I like, Boardwalk Empire. Like, I need to watch that. Like, I've never seen that. I've seen, The Wire and Sopranos and all that stuff, but there's a couple of older HBO shows I need to do. Succession, yes. Saw that one.
So I'm looking at Billions. Is it similar to Succession at all? It kind of feels like it might be.
I think so. I think it is. That's what it seemed
Damian
like
Lewis
to me.
Is the lead there. Though.
Maybe a little Suits-ish. Like office drama kind of stuff. I never watched it, so I'm just going off trailer.
Okay.
People are talking about Chernobyl.
Now you're giving me too many things to choose from.
Chernobyl's been out like 5 years. I think I watched Chernobyl during COVID.
So you said Absentia?
Absentia.
And that's Netflix?
It's good. It's Netflix. It's right. Three seasons, so it'll be. I think it'll be your new obsession for January and February. If you get good at it. You know what I'm going to start doing? And Texas brings this up. Some interesting British stuff. Like the Harlan Coben stuff that's on Netflix right now. Like the mystery-ish type stuff. I enjoy the little mini-series.
I struggle with shows where everybody has an accent.
You do?
Yeah. Peaky Blinders is the only one I really like.
Oh, man. Don't mess with them. Don't mess with the Peaky Blinders.
That's pretty good.
Thank you. I watched it. I really had to clean that up. I had to try really hard. Peaky Blinders, and then my wife likes Dairy Girls, and that's like Ireland, Northern Ireland, and those accents are... You got to do, with a couple of those, you got to do subtitles. You got to do subtitles with a couple of that. You can't try to wade through there. Great recommendations, actually. Great recommendations coming in here. A lot of the same recommendations, which I think is interesting. Like a lot of, Texter said What We Do in the Shadows. I don't know if you would like that. It's vampires. It's a comedy. It's like Office
comedy
Parks
and Vampire. No.
It's like Office Parks and Rec vampires. It's actually, it's actually really funny, but I don't think you would like
that's
it.
That's not my thing.
That's not your deal. Mayor of Easttown.
I need conspiracy. I need guns. I need betrayal.
Let me see this. There was one more that I saw pop up here. Peacock. I can't download Peacock, but All Her Fault looks really good. That's a like murdery mystery deal too. We appreciate this, man. Look, at the start of January, we're going to be on planes, trains, and automobiles. I got a two-hour bus ride to and from Atlanta this weekend. So I got some. I'm going to be watching basketball on the way there, maybe a little football on the way back, depending. But there's some showtime in there. Let's go to Tennessee Tiger, who's up with us next. 654 Roars and over. What's up, Tennessee Tiger?
Hey, Qualt. On the game tonight, now I couldn't look this up. That's two Big Ten teams, and I should know this, but why do they have SEC referees? Is that standard? I guess it is.
I think it has to do with location. I think those are predetermined. Am I right about that?
Yeah, but they also they go to somebody that is not they use officials that are not in the game.
Right.
So if an SEC team was in this game tonight, there wouldn't be SEC officials.
That's correct.
Well, I know that's like, you know, the visiting team on that. I just, you know, I didn't look it up or ask. Earlier, I had to leave, but when you were talking about what Herb Street said about, you know, what, you know, and you played that tape, without knowing the full details, I took that as all the criticism that Dabo gets about the culture here at the school and what he wants to do, and then that's what Herb Street was saying, and then he tried to make it sound like, you know, that's what the players are doing. But we all know, like you said, Ben, it's not about that. And the NC State lineman that South Carolina paid, what's the going rate? I mean, what'd they pay him to come? Did Clemson recruit him or try to get him on the portal?
I think that was mostly an SEC portal recruitment. He is, according to On3, which that's significant. We talked about the volume of guys that South Carolina lost on the offensive line. Jacarius Peak is his name, 6'5", 310 from Valdosta. He committed to South Carolina. I'd be shocked if it was less than $1 million, probably well over $1 million.
Yeah. Well, I would say that'd be a minimum. On the game tonight, now, y'all took the game last night. You probably wanted maybe Mississippi to win.
Oh, no, we were both pulling for Miami.
I wanted Miami. I did. Yeah. I picked Miami to cover, and they covered by a point. But the game went very similar to what I thought, so I kind of was just rooting for my pick there.
Well, I sent y'all a text, and I called. Well, I picked 34-27 touchdown.
Okay.
But I'm not – that into betting and all that, but I'm thinking with what I heard earlier about the Ducks running backs being out. Now, I was going to pick the Ducks on this, but that line had to move a point on that. And the player that got targeted in the
game last night, yeah.
And there was another one, wasn't there? Now, they're not going to make him miss the first half of the previous game. They've got to get this targeting thing together. Like, when your helmet comes off, you got to go to the sideline. Okay.
Yeah,
you know why that happened.
I do not think – like, I'm with some of the people. I've seen this online. I've heard a couple of national people talk about it. I mean, we should not be – for a hit that's not malicious, we just should not be suspending people for the first half of national championship games.
I know.
We just should not.
What you should do is say, go to the sideline, cool down, talk to your coach, and then come back in on the next play or next series. Anyway, I'm going to go ahead and pick the Ducks tonight because their statistics are somewhat even. And the way they handled Texas Tech and going on fourth down like that, you know, they could have punted or that. And, you know, Indiana beat Alabama, but, you know, South Carolina almost beat Alabama, so I'm just saying. I don't know.
It's going to be a good game. I think it's going to be a fun game. I do.
Yeah, except for the Alabama game, you know, they've all been good games.
That's right. And, no, that's right. We've had a good playoff so far. Go ahead.
I do commend the Mississippi quarterback for saying that he's going to stay there because, you know, he could go, you know, elsewhere. So at least he's going to – wave the rebel flag.
Well, he's
allowed him.
He wasn't going to go to. He was saying he wasn't going to go to LSU, but now he's not been given another year of eligibility, so he's going. He is going to be leaving. He's been going to the NFL.
It's tough because I'd like to see him in college football, and I'd like to see loyalty rewarded like that. Although, it's hard to say loyalty when you know how much they likely were paying him to stay. You know, you could say like, oh, the loyalty, so I'm glad he's staying. But like, if they offered him zero, suddenly loyalty's out the window, you know?
I mean, we're all loyal to our paycheck, if we're being honest.
That's exactly
right. I love working here, but also love getting paid. I'm not going to lie.
100%. Speaking of that, call the plumber. His name is his number. One Tom Plumber. One Tom Plumber, ladies and gentlemen, they are loyal to you, the customer. And I know that because they will go out of their way. 24-hour same-day service for those plumbing emergencies, the worst ones. The ones that can grind everything in your home or your business to a screeching halt. They can help with your real estate transactions. They can do the normal stuff, but it's the emergencies. That's where they thrive. Clemson grads owned and operated. Again, call the plumber. His name is his number, One Tom Plumber. Before we go to break, reminder, Collegiate Legacy Designs. This is a wonderful company. Greg and Julie Terry, they take care of you with handcrafted Clemson ring plaques. For men, for women, they do Citadel and Texas A&M as well. The Clemson ring is iconic, and what's better than a ring on your finger? Well, it might be a ring in your office or a ring in your home somewhere. Give the gift for birthdays, Mother's Day, Father's Day, whatever the case. Good Friday's coming up. Wrap that sucker up. Valentine's Day. Get that gift. 5-star reviews all over the website, collegiatelegacydesigns.com.
You give a lot of Good Friday gifts, do you, there, Quark?
I'm just saying. I'm just saying, man. I don't want to police people, you know?
You do whatever.
Look, if you want to have a Good Friday gift exchange because of the gift of life we were given on Good Friday, then you know what? Go ahead.
Look at you.
I just want to.
What a transition.
I don't want to yuck your yum, you know? Final segment of the program. We're going to talk some Indiana and Oregon and give some NFL playoff picks after this.
If you have had surgery and are struggling with recovery, check out OrthoLaser Spartanburg. They use advanced MLS laser therapy to help reduce post-surgery pain, minimize swelling, and speed up healing. OrthoLaser is non-invasive, drug-free, and proven to support a smoother, more comfortable recovery. Whether it's joint replacement, orthopedic surgery, or a sports injury repair, take control of your recovery with OrthoLaser. Call today for your free consultation, 864-327-8001.
Your family will delight in the locally sourced beef and other foods from A&PM Farms. Their beef is raised naturally with no hormones or vaccines, making its way from the pasture to their stores. Along with vendor and farm products from 70 vendors, they offer the very best in local food choices. Platt and Ashley Moore and their team invite you to A&PM Farms, 1907 Lawrence Road in Greenville, and next to Farmhouse Tacos in Travelers Rest. Online at ampmfarmsbutcheryandmarket.com.
Two stores, one destination. Four Men on Exchange and New Teak Boutique. Whether you're looking for women's clothing and home decor items or men's fashions and gifts, we've got you covered from head to toe. New Teak Boutique is at 122 East Main Street, while Four Men on Exchange is at 102 Exchange Street, just across the street. So no matter who you're shopping for, you'll find that at New Teak Boutique and Four Men on Exchange. So come by to see us Tuesday through Friday, 10 to 5, and on Saturdays, 10 to 4. Downtown on Pendleton at New Teak Boutique and Four Men on Exchange.
Looking for exceptional senior living? Welcome to the Barclay at Clemson, formerly Dominion Senior Living and Everlawn Independent Living at Patrick Square. Now with a fresh name and the same trusted care you've come to count on. Whether it's independent living, assisted living, or memory care, enjoy top-notch care, chef-prepared meals, engaging activities, and the same friendly staff members in a community that truly feels like home. Live well and thrive at the Barclay at Clemson. Schedule your free tour today at 864-722-2811.
Men, listen up. It's time to transform your life this season. Step up and take control of your health with Low Country Male Semaglutide, the ultimate game changer for men. Semaglutide will help shed those extra pounds over the holiday season. At Low Country Male, we're all about you. Feel stronger, look better, and become the man you've always wanted to be. Say goodbye to your beer belly with the help of Semaglutide. Visit Low Country Male today, where real men get real results.
When downtime isn't an option, you need a team that knows motors inside and out.
Doug Powell and his team at IMS are knowledgeable, dependable, fast, and always willing to work around our needs. Doug's just a phone call away and always ready with valuable advice.
From repairs to replacements, Industrial Motor Service keeps your operation moving with trusted expertise and responsive service. Visit industrialmotorservice.com today. Industrial Motor Service, keep your power in motion.
Coach Dabo Swinney here from the Clemson Tigers. Just like high schools across the upstate, Clemson fans love football. But one thing I love more than football is my family. That's why we talk to our three children about alcohol and other drugs. Alcohol is the leading cause of death among youth. But the truth is, most upstate youth aren't drinking or using drugs. Remind your teenagers that most teens choose to be healthy and drug-free. Talk to your teens about drugs and alcohol. They will listen. For more information, go to phoenixcenter.org.
Your home for football all season long.
This is big boy football.
We are the Roar, part of the ESPN family.
Through a five-day work week. That's unbelievable.
Europe,
man.
Would never. Suck it, Europe.
You've got college football tonight. You've got NFL wild card weekend. Clemson Gymnastics hosting Alabama. Is this the largest hosted gymnastics meet? I suppose it is.
Probably so. I'm trying to think. In the ACC, a couple of AC programs are highly ranked. This is a big one. Like, this is regionally and in the sport, this is a big deal. This is a big opponent coming in here this weekend.
Yeah, Texas said that wasn't Chris Stapleton. Friday's last segment is always Sweet Emotion in honor of Mark Packer and Pac-Man. That's where that started.
There we go, man. I'm excited for the week. I think it's going to be a great weekend.
And then, of course, you've got basketball. College basketball all weekend, like we've been talking about. Clemson Notre Dame tomorrow at 6 o'clock. It's funny, Tim Beret pointed out to, I think it was Tim or Don, after the SMU game when we were walking out of the arena at midnight, he said, you know, we're actually going to be home from South Bend, Indiana on Saturday faster than we are home from Little John Coliseum on Wednesday.
Touche, Tim. Touche.
Like, that's true.
I've written down 31 college basketball games Friday, Saturday, or Sunday that I would at least like to get some eyes on. Now, that's not going to happen because 7 of them are in the noon window on Saturday. So, I'm going to have to pick and choose there. But I'm excited. Yeah.
I'm envisioning you looking like a stockbroker with all the screens around you.
If I'm holding my phone and an iPad and I've got a weird glaze over my glasses, it's because I'm trying some new thing where I can watch TV on my glasses. This hour brought to you by Arthrex, careers.arthrex.com. This is where you can work for a great company that is right at the tip of the spear of surgical technology. Everybody from weekend warriors to professional athletes back in the game, that's what they're doing. That's Arthrex. They have a great culture, too. They have a great campus right there, Sandy Springs, Pendleton. They have all the amenities there, the gourmet chef and the daycare and the transportation subsidies and the athletic fields and all that stuff. Medical clinic on site, plus attractive shift schedules. They love to invest in their people. This is a great company, great place to work. careers.arthrex.com.
What's your feel on tonight's game, Oregon, Indiana, 7:30? Four-letter network.
The more I look at the Oregon-Indiana game, and I understand, like, the personnel's not appreciably different. It's not exactly the same, but it's also not appreciably different, in my opinion. Oregon's a little healthier at receiver. To me, the way that Indiana beat Oregon is a way that can be replicated, and in fact, it could easily be improved upon. We've talked about that. Fernando Mendoza threw a pick six at the start of the fourth quarter, and Indiana still won by multiple possessions. So I think it's going to go about like you would think. And we talked about the game management stuff. Last night, I felt from a game management standpoint, mostly good, nothing hilarious by either coach. Kurt Cignetti is going to, I was talking to Walt about this yesterday, actually. Kurt Cignetti is going to play everything absolutely down the line by the book. They're not going to run razzle. You ain't going to have to worry about four quarterbacks or the Wildcat or anything like that with Indiana. They're just going to hand it to the back who runs in the gap he's supposed to and gets a normal amount of yards a whole bunch of times. And they're going to fit the run, and they're going to make it tough, and they're going to do all this. And so I think Indiana went, I mean, I think it'll look, scoreboard probably similar, like a, I think like, let's say 30-21. I think like 30-21 final score in this game.
I'd be interested to see what Oregon does to try to give Dante Moore a little bit more time back there. In the first matchup, Indiana sacked him six times, and he threw two interceptions. I mean, he just never had time to get comfortable. So I've got to imagine they leave a little more help in maybe this go around and maybe not as busy in the downfield passing game, a bit maybe a little more short stuff like what you saw from Miami last night game plan wise. Maybe that's more what Oregon tries tonight. But either way, I mean, that was the difference in the first one to me was Indiana just had pressure on Moore all day long.
I just don't I understand if you think that Oregon's path to victory is like win a race to 20. But if a game is played like in the mid-20s or higher, how is Oregon winning that game? Like if Indiana's possessing the ball and moving the ball, like you say, Oregon might try to possess the ball like Indiana, but to me, Indiana's just shown that they're a machine. You kind of might have to razzle-dazzle Indiana. You might have to get like score and get an onside kick. You might have to do some weird stuff to keep them off the field to make the game weird. Because like if you're playing it, it seems like you should just be able to line up and play against Indiana. But I think line up and play is what Indiana wants. I think Indiana wants you to just like everybody just knows what everybody's doing. And it's like a Revolutionary War battle where you all just – take sides in the field and you just fire and whoever dies, dies. And whoever lives at the end wins the battle. I think Indiana's perfectly comfortable playing in that world. And I don't know that Oregon could just line up and play in that world. And I think it's very difficult to get Indiana out of that world.
I think we are looking at another incredibly exciting game tonight.
I'm going to do, I would agree. I don't think it's going to be a laugher. I don't think it's going to be a laugher. I think it's – honestly
– In fact, the line has moved a point in Oregon's favor. It's gone from 4-3 now.
You don't say. $100, Ben.
What?
We're laying them. This is where I make moves, Ben. This is where I make moves. 100 in the dock.
That's a pick. Oh.
Yeah, baby. Oh, yeah. We are doing it. This is – Ben Milstead famously has like – you have like 5 G's in the bank, okay? And some of it is because, much like the prodigal son, I have squandered the wealth that I was given, okay? Some of that is true. Some of it is, though, that Ben shows up sometimes and it's like 500 on the over in Georgia TCU, and then Georgia hits the over by themselves.
In the first half.
Oh, yeah. Like oh, 750 on the over in the Super Bowl or whatever that time. And so you just nailed these big games. And so I'm just – it's time for me to nail a big game, Ben. Like where's my nailing a big – I got to nail a big game. I got to do it. So it's in there. It's in the dock. -3 tonight. And the texter says the line can move back for Indiana. Oregon just moved 2 players from defense to tailback. Maybe so. That's why I'm getting it right now. That's why I'm laying 3 before it goes back to – before it goes back to 4. Can I, go
well,
ahead.
And it is I'm drawing a blank on the Noah Whittington. They still have him.
They do have Whittington.
It's not like Oregon doesn't have a running back anymore. Jordan Davison was listed as out for the game, but I mean Whittington's almost a 1,000-yard rusher on the year. Like cry me a river.
I don't think they're going to be like, oh, no, we have to run Whittington on 3rd and 2. I don't really think that's the case. I actually think they had an embarrassment of riches at running back, and that's why they were sort of allowed to utilize Davison as a short yardage back there.
Will Kwok favoring Indiana move the lines in favor of Oregon.
If you're details. If you're in a legal gambling state right now, you could really make people raise an eyebrow if you just fade me right now, and they're like, "Oh boy, must have heard something," but really all they were doing was listening to the roar.
Listen, I'll call my shot right now. I think Indiana's winning tonight, and I think they're winning next week. I think Indiana is your national champion.
They're the best team. They are the best team. The injury on the defensive line, injuries on the defensive line can hurt you. Because when you can either get pressure with four or like the sim pressures that Brian Haynes likes to use, again, it's a lot of four-man pressures for Indiana. A lot of fours, some fives. It's similar, like if you're a Clemson fan, Brent Venables, like a big game pressure package. Brian Haynes has some neat stuff in his pressure package. But any injuries on the defensive front, any further injuries on the defensive front could be problematic here for Indiana. And Texas says Whittington's still a game-time decision.
Yeah, he's playing.
He's going to play, yeah. I'd be shocked if he didn't play.
You are correct, Texter. Thank you.
What about NFL this weekend? I've been teasing out for a couple days now that I like a bunch of road teams this week.
You know, I do too. The one I guess a lot of our listeners will be most in tune to, Rams at Carolina. Rams are a 10.5-point favorite in the game, and I certainly like them to win.
But that's
a lot. That's a lot of points for a playoff game for the visiting team.
Ben, I can't. The only NFL pick that I lost in the Bahamas. The only loser, the only losing slip was when I teased two games, and one of them was the Rams. I think they were 12.5 in Carolina, and I teased them down to 6.5, and they lost outright. My other one won. I would have won. I am so spooked by this game because I don't know how in the world the Panthers beat the Rams the first time. It doesn't make any sense. I think the Rams win, but 10.5 is a lot of points to lay with the road team.
You said you like a bunch of road teams. I actually like the Bears. Welcome. You're welcome, Chad the mailman.
I like the Packers because of all that had to go right for the Bears to win the first game. Like, I don't think the Bears were, like, way worse than the Packers. But, Jordan Love goes out. Willis was fine, but Love goes out. They had to settle for a couple field goals there. The Bears get the onside kick. Like, there's just a lot of stuff that happened there for the Bears to win just a couple weeks ago. And Jordan Love is back this week for Green Bay.
Yeah. By the way, if you're going to watch all the wild card games this weekend, you need Fox, you need Prime, you need CBS, you need NBC, and you need ESPN.
That's right. Packers-Bears on Prime. Like, that's a huge matchup. Just sticking that sucker on Prime on a Saturday night. I'd have had the Rams-Panthers. I feel like that's the worst ratings game of all of these. I think the Jags are winning, Ben. Home under. I like all these. I think the Jags are beating Buffalo.
What? Do you really?
I think the Jags are going to score like 38. I think they're going to score on Buffalo.
Buffalo's a slight 1.5 favorite right now.
And that has to do with Josh Allen being in the playoffs where all his experience is losing to his peers. Am I wrong?
You're not wrong, but also, as much as I hate to say it, Trevor Lawrence is not a peer of Josh Allen.
Trevor
right
Lawrence
now.
Has never lost a postseason game in his life, and I will die with that fact. Never. He has never thrown an incompletion, always gets the first down, never wrong.
You know, it is a pretty good Jags offense against a bad Bills defense, and the opposite is also true.
Yeah. What's the total on it? 51.5? North. Good weather? Over. Over in this game. I think both teams are getting to 30. I think it's like 38-31.
The trend in most wildcard games is to take the under.
Yes.
But you might be right here. Yeah, you could sell me on that.
I think the Niners are winning in Philly. I've said this. I took different stuff away. Now, I'm watching injury reports before I give it out, okay, because they got some people they need to get back. But the Niners defense got off the mat against Seattle, and I know everybody's talking about how they didn't score. The Eagles can't score. So if the Niners defense comes, it may take 10 points to win this game. And if I need one touchdown to win, I'm trusting Purdy to get one touchdown. So this might be an underplay, about 44.5. I think they could play 10 quarters and not get a 44.5, man. So this may be an underplay on this game. And then I think the Patriots are beating the Chargers because I think the Chargers are going the wrong direction.
Rams-Panthers aside, the rest of these are some really good matchups.
Really good. And like I say, the one game that we're just totally abandoning, the Panthers already beat them.
Couldn't you see any of these going either way? I would be stunned if the Rams lost. But the rest of I mean, Blind Squirrel finds a nut every now and then with the Panthers, so.
Yeah, it's
We'll be able to talk about it all on Monday.
Going to be a great NFL playoff weekend. Let's see, 5:30 pregame tomorrow.